So when we come to this solemnity and to this celebration of the kingship of our Lord, we could expect that the readings would be very much focused on that sense of Jesus reigning in heaven, the God who is exalted, the all-powerful one, the one where he really is able to assert his authority. Instead, when we come today to this encounter with the Lord, the image that we're presented with is of the crucified king, the Lord who's giving himself so completely, so totally to us. This powerful sense of a man broken, beaten, defeated, a man who's there with this sense of complete surrender and complete openness. When someone in the gospel today comes to bring him a drink, it's not a mulled wine, it's not a sign of sovereignty. Instead, it's a rag soaked in vinegar poked up to him on a stick. The sign of absolute humility, absolute deprivation. And yet, there is Jesus offering himself. In the couple of verses immediately before we pick up the gospel today, Jesus is there looking at the crowd as they continue to jeer at him, as they continue to mock him and rebuke him. And the words that Jesus says continue to resonate across the centuries, because he simply says and speaks into my life, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I love those words. They're so powerful, especially when I have that profound sense that so often I'm clueless. I really don't know what I'm doing. And it's a wonderful thing that Jesus is able to recognize that and to speak that truth, that even when we're clueless, even when we get things wrong, even when we stuff it up, Jesus is still there offering us his mercy, offering that forgiveness to us. It's been one of the great themes that we've had across this year, to offer ourselves in the midst of the year of mercy. Pope Francis, of course, a year ago, invited us into this reflection on mercy, invited us into this experience of the tenderness of the Father's heart. He was there as he opened the holy doors in Rome last year, inviting us as a church to experience that same mercy that Jesus offered so freely and so readily upon the cross, inviting us into that encounter with mercy, but also to be people of mercy, people who embrace that, receive that, live that, and share it, to share that mercy, to take that mercy and to offer it to those around us. Perhaps it was a very prophetic sign that he realized that this year we would need this mercy when we've seen so many acts of violence and terrorism and hatred being unleashed upon the world. It's so tempting to think that there is this continuing myth of the redemptive violence, restorative violence. The sense that, you know, if someone hurts you, if a country acts against you, as we saw, unfortunately, after those terrorism attacks 15 years ago now on 9/11, and instead of being able to offer forgiveness and mercy, this sense, well, if they attacked us, then we need to bomb them. We need to bomb them into rubble and into absolute destitution. When we did that series back in Lent on moving mercy, we saw this lived out and worked out, especially in that passage in Judges 15, when one of the judges, Samson, there acts in this totally primitive and brutal way. When he is set upon and he's smited by not being able to go in and have the pleasure of the company of his wife, all of this continuing cycle of violence begins to spiral out of control. And we saw that eventually it led to Samson unleashing this violence, picking up the jawbone of a donkey and attacking all of these Philistines and slaughtering them there in cold blood. And the sense that we recognize that in ourselves, we recognize this attempt to unleash that violence, that hatred that dwells within us, and we try and inflict that upon others. But the invitation that we've received across this year is to indeed to drop the jawbone, and to recognize that if we hold on to that hatred, if we hold on to that hurt, the only person that's hurt in that is us, to the extent that we grow smaller, we grow less capable of love. And the invitation is to allow Jesus to forgive us and to offer and to share that forgiveness with others. We see it, of course, as he's there on the cross. The image on the left is the crucifix that's around on the wall of the chapel. And it's an invitation into just the mystery of Jesus, who indeed is there as the King, offering himself, just sharing that love and that life, inviting us, calling us, like the two brigands who were there. But we see the two responses. We see the one who continues to unleash the vitriol and the hatred and the violence that he's lived with, and to just to extend that and to direct that against Jesus. You know, if you are the Christ, then save us and save yourself. But instead, the other. Traditionally, we call him the good thief, but perhaps it was just in this moment of clarity as he reached death that he was able to make this great prayer, this petition before Jesus, this call, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And those wonderful words that Jesus is able to offer to him, that indeed today you will be with me in paradise. The image on the right is one that one of my cousins has created. He does a lot of sculpture with just scraps and bits and pieces of metal that he recovers and finds in various places. That crucifix is there in my aunt's house, who's also my godmother, and I went to visit her a few weeks ago and saw that there. And there's something that's just kind of grotesque and terrible about that image, and yet there's something that's quite beautiful, and I love the fact that it's just there in the midst of her very an abundant garden, and from that sense of the paradise that it invites us into. To the extent that we receive the mercy, to the extent that we let the Lord of all life forgive us, to the extent that we are able to be there before the cross of our Lord and know that I am guilty, that I am the one who is rightly being condemned, that as the man said, look, he's done nothing wrong, but we're guilty as charged of the things, of the crimes that we have committed. And yet Jesus continues to extend and speak that mercy and that forgiveness into our lives. As we conclude this year of mercy, it's not an invitation to finish with mercy and to say, okay, we can move on now, we can go back to the way of violence and hatred, but to continue to receive that mercy, to continue to do this impossible call to be merciful like the Father. And none of us will ever know how to be that merciful, how to forgive when we've been so defeated and so destroyed by those around us. And yet, this is the only way of life. This is the only possibility that any of us can ever truly know. And so let's indeed embrace the call of the cross and allow Jesus to offer that forgiveness to us and to share this invitation to life.
What if love was greater than the darkest night? What if love was greater than hate? What if love was greater than war? What if if love was greater than fear? What if love was greater than failure? What if love was greater than brokenness? What if love was greater than despair? What if love was greater than loss? What if love came down on the darkest night? Demonstrates his own love for us in this, that even when we were still sinners, he died for us.